F1 or FU. Cue the music.
What is that?
Did you guys practice that? Did you guys practice that?
Nope.
I'm an improv king, bro. This is comedy.
All right, Lemonheads, what's up? Welcome to season 2, episode 3 of the F1 or FU podcast. I'm your boy, Fungus, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, Maite Cáceres. She's a Formula 4 driver. How are you, Maite?
Hi, how are you guys? Well, I want to thank Lemon City Live for the invitation. Really honored to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, great. I came across your profile on Instagram and I saw that you were in Miami. So I thought, it's a great opportunity to interview somebody who's in that world, who is, a professional driver in Miami with the race coming up. Somebody who can give us a little bit of insight, right? A little bit of expert knowledge here. So, Maite, tell me first, before we get into all of that, before we get into the race and everything, tell me a little bit about yourself, about your story, how you got to the place where you are now.
Well, my story is a little not common in the world of motorsports because, my father is a rally driver. My brother, he races in Formula BMW. He was a champion back in those days. Tried Formula 3000, then jumping to a test with Minardi for F1 team in 2005. That he did really, really good, but it was one moment when Minardi entered in bankrupt, and then Toro Rosso bought the team. I always have been surrounded by motorsports life, fuel. Yeah. Was in my house, F1 weekends, and yeah, I was loving the sports. I really love cars. And when I was 7 years old, I told my parents, okay, I want to do what you guys do. I love sport. I love the cars, And they told me that I couldn't do it, that I was too young, that I needed to focus into school, that it was too dangerous. All those things I tried to, and me being 7 years old, I didn't was like stubborn, like to say like, why not? And let me try. Or I was like, okay, try next year. Maybe I'm 8 years old, better. And yeah, I didn't have a chance. They put me into tennis. I did handball, hockey, every sport that you can imagine. I even tried singing. They put me into singing lessons. I don't sing, but I'll give you that. And yeah, when I was 12, 13, 14, I was still asking them and asking each year. And I tried to bring them good grades because it was one of the things my parents did look at it. So I was okay, see this.
Yeah.
And they knew, I was super stubborn and saying and telling them this is because I want to race one day. It's not just that. It's just good grades, It's because I want one purpose. And I think my parents, in one way, they wanted to see that this is a really tough sport, that you need to work really hard. You need to make sacrifices in your life. That they wanted me to show that I could be capable of doing that. But they still was no, Maite, no, racing, no, until I was 17 years old and told them why my brother can do it and I cannot. And that was the sentence that put my world upside down, because my parents look at each other and it was okay, maybe she really, really wants it. So let's give her a chance.
That's awesome.
Yes, and I started there with 17 years old, did 2 years in karting. Then I jumped quickly into F4 US Championship in 2022. And then I did the last year for F1 Academy. And I know it was a big jump for me to go my second years in Formula to jump into F1 Academy in Europe with really high level of competitors. But yeah, it was my only chance to keep on the sports. And now we are racing in, again, the Formula 4 US Championship, as well as Formula FARA with International Motorsports.
That's amazing. I mean, so you mentioned you come from a family of drivers, right? So I'm sure you knew where to go. Your family knew where to go to get these opportunities, right? So how was it all planned out for you? Once your parents finally decided that they were going to let you, what was that process like? Okay, this is what you have to do. This is training, whatever. Explain that process.
Yeah, at the beginning, like, they wanted me, they asked me, like, how you want to do it. Like, this is a hobby or you really want to start something professional? And I knew, and I told them that because I didn't want to scare them, like, to not give me the chance. I was like, no, I just want to try a karting. I just want to do some laps. And after that, I did my first laps and I was like, oh my God, this is where I belong. This is where I need to go, because it was immediately like this. And I knew my world was like done. Yeah. And I told them that, okay, I got up off the cart after my first session. And I overheard other karting drivers that they were talking about that there was a race coming up in 2 weeks. And I was like, I want to race. And I told my father, like, hey, how I want to race. There's a race coming up. And then, Maite, you need training. I was like, what? My first lap in the karting, Leslie, you need some sessions. And I went to... We are here.
Well, I think you were frozen a little bit. Are you there?
Are we back? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so.
And yes, and as soon as I talked to my father, and he told me, like, okay, if you do this lap time, you're going to race. And he wasn't expecting me to do the reference from that race to have a from the track.
Yeah.
And I did that on the second session, and he was like, oh, okay, really, really wants it. So
yeah. The
process was first to establish, like, a point where to start, where we are, and what we wanted to go. Like, that was the process first. Do some races, get some experience. But my father wanted me to jump right into Formula cars quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I did just 1 year and a half of karting because he wanted me to, like, he asked me, what is my goal? And I was like, Formula One, I don't care, Formula One. And I think I was a little dreaming because didn't know much about, like, the ladder and how much budget, you know. But my father, yes, he knows everything, and we tried to prepare and got lucky, got good results, a podium in the F4 in Uruguay, then jumping to a W Series test, a driver selection test. So yeah, it was a little bit of what we have, because also sponsors was really tough to get into. When I was in the Formula 4 US Championship, I barely had any test. I couldn't break any part of the cars as well. When I was in the F1 Academy, I couldn't test in any track. So yeah, that was a little unfortunate. And now without testing, it's difficult to make, like, to good results and everything. But we got some good results, and yeah, now we are on the ladder, let's say.
All right. So yeah, so now you're part of International Motorsport, right? What does that entail? What do you do? Where do you race? Are you part of a team? What's that position like for you?
Well, International Motorsport is my team that I'm racing in those championships that I mentioned. And yeah, I race for them. Currently we have been, well, they were the first team that I raced in karting. So we have, like, a really good relationship. It's almost family. So yeah, my days are not only developing as a driver, getting into the gym, some scene work, but I like to be with them, work, try to learn more about the cars because they have other championships that are they are running. So I go to the races and try to learn as much as I can.
That's awesome. So you mentioned you you started as you were 17. Right now, I think you're 21 years old, right? Yes. So you're still relatively young in the sport, even though you know, most people start when they're kids, basically. So how's it been playing catch up and how do you look at your competition when you know that they've been doing it maybe a little longer than you?
Yeah, it's tough because you gave like 10 years in advantage. Those 10 years, even if you don't race that much, is there are more races than me. There are more karting, more experience. Like in every form that you can ever imagine, more laps, more hours. You know, this is all dedication and put your the effort. So yeah, of course it's tough, and you came up with people. But as I told you, you know, my team was like, okay, I cannot do this. Like I cannot get the time passed. Like go to the to the back and say, okay, let's start again. No, so what can I do forward? Like, what can I do? So it's work harder. Fernando Alonso, I met him in 2019, and he was one of the people that gave me, like, this sentence, like, was, if you want to do it, just work hard. For everyone, it's difficult, so you need to outstand yourself. And I think that was when I said, okay, I cannot do anything about the age, but I can do something like to close the gap between that. That is like put some more hours, more effort and try to think. I always put myself in a little bit of like try to compare us to them as I, if I had the same amount of track time and hours and experience. That I don't, but I think that it was good for me to get better myself. Sometimes I'm too hard, but others it works to get the best out of me.
No, I completely understand that. You know, you have like that Michael Jordan mentality, right, or like Kobe Bryant, where you just have to work harder than everybody else, kind of thing. So that's understandable. But how does when you beat these guys or these people that are have been doing it longer than you, how does that feel?
That feels awesome. Or you can get the results. And my first times in a track, you know, last couple of weeks, I was racing in Nola Motorsports Park. And I came to that category that I knew the car, of course. I have good amount of time in them. But I didn't know the competition, and the teams were really good. And then I haven't been on that track in ages. It was my first track, like when I was racing in Formula. So obviously, I didn't have like almost any experience. And I came to that weekend like, okay, the best out of it, expecting like maybe some couple. And then I found my almost. Got it, so I'm really happy of how the improvement.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What's your favorite track that you've raced on so far? Maite, did we lose you? Can you hear me?
I think I lost you.
You lost me? Are we back now? You're there?
No.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. All right. No problem. I asked you, what's your favorite track that you've raced on so far?
You mean my favorite? Sorry, I lost you a little bit. My favorite track that I raced?
Yes.
It's a tough question because I have Road America is one of my favorite tracks that I remember I raced on. But now that I race in Europe, there are some really good tracks that I try, like Sandvoort, Monza. Sometimes Monza, I put like Monza in my mind. Yes, and it's like awesome. And the how you feel, the it's like the tempo of speed. It's literally you feel that. You feel the history of that. But otherwise, like sandboard, people don't talk about it, but driving it is so fast and so cool to go into that banking. And it's
where's
really
that?
Fast. It's in Netherlands.
Okay, okay. That's the Netherlands GP.
Yes. And it's super cool track and Formula One race there. So myself imagine like how a F1 car goes into that. That makes me so. And now I have like, okay, I need to go back to Road America to see how is my standard. But yeah, definitely if I had to choose one, Road America, has my car that I raced up. Then I have other favorite tracks that I haven't raced, but I love it.
Are there any that you know you're going to be racing soon you haven't done yet that you're looking forward to?
No, there is
no.
No.
Okay. No problem.
You never know. I'm not going to say no like that. But
Hopefully you get to race one of those tracks that you're looking forward to that you like so much that you haven't done yet. So we'll see. So let's talk a little bit about the race coming up this weekend in Miami. Right? I mean, I'm sure you follow Formula One, right? You were a fan before. I'm sure you don't stop being a fan just because you start doing it, right? So who were you a fan of growing up?
Growing up, like the moment that I recall them the most is 2005, 2006, 2007. You know, Fernando Alonso fan, of course.
Yeah.
Renault years. Then he changed into Ferrari. So, I was like super to him.
Nice. So what about now? You still supporting Fernando Alonso? Yeah, you're with Aston Martin?
Yes. No, I usually don't go like with a team. It's usually that I like the drivers. Yes. And it's not like sometimes I'm a fan. Like with Fernando Alonso, I can say I'm a fan. Like I cannot be biased. But when talking about other drivers, I really like to see like they have like a specific style or something that I like of them that they do that I follow, like, you know, Norris, Leclerc, Verstappen, Hamilton has like their own part in the race weekend that they are more strong that I love to follow.
So, you know, like people like myself, I didn't grow up watching Formula One. When the Netflix documentary came out, that's when I, you know, I was like, oh, let me check it out. And I fell in love with it. And I'm sure that's the same is true for a lot of people in the United States. So people like me are still a novice, right? We still don't really know much about the different styles of racing, things like that. So you mentioned you look at different drivers and their styles. What are some of the styles or like, tell me a little bit about some of the drivers and things that they do that you like that are different from the rest of them.
Yes. For example, it depends on the car that they're driving. Like,
So
they have to change their style by the car they have. It's not that I can look at the style of driving, but I can see like the mentality of or where they're stronger. Not it's like I see the mentality because it's not like I'm with them, but you see how they manage the weekend depending on the car they have, because you see on practice that, maybe the McLaren is struggling on this track, but the Ferrari are stronger on this one and maybe had a chance more than Aston Martin or Mercedes or McLaren, you know? So you try to see where they can maximize. Usually, like, Ferrari are super good in qualifying, and then in race they are not so much. So you can see how drivers like Sainz or Leclerc struggle sometimes with tires, and they try to manage it in a way that you see they change their driving style like to minimize the struggle that they have. So those are ways like in which drivers like we look at and see what they're doing, because Formula One is not like you push all the way to the race, you need to have a tire management. You are talking with the engineer. Maybe the setup is not like you want to do, and you have them some other struggles. If it rains, it changes a lot. So you see the style of driving on which line, because drivers need to change the line to go faster and have more grip. So if it rains, you look like, okay, so he's trying this and the other one is trying this. And I love to see Max Verstappen in the race. He's super good at it. And also the experience of Fernando in the race is astronomical. Like even if he doesn't have a good car, he has some really great moves.
So, all right, now that's a topic that I'm super interested in. As like you mentioned, looking at Max Verstappen, he's really good. But to somebody like me, I'm looking at him like, yeah, his car is just faster than everybody else's car. Like, if you put another driver in that car, maybe he'll do the same. Why is that wrong?
I don't say that. Why am I wrong? I don't say that's wrong.
No, you think, okay.
Maybe they could, you have to try it. You need to put another driver in that. You cannot speak by itself like, okay, you put another driver and he will drive as fast. Because that car, as Albon tried it and Gasly also tried and said, is super well adjusted to Max driving. And Max driving is super hard because he likes an oversteered car that rotates a lot. And not all drivers are comfortable with that. And he goes into the limit like nobody does. So if other Formula One drivers, really good drivers like Gasly and Albon got into those cars, and if they struggle a little bit, they're for sure one of the... It's not like Max has a good car. You need to drive that car and be in the limit of that car, because he's not like... going to the supermarket, driving, goes into the limit. And it's difficult to maintain on the highest level like that because he has the pressure as anyone is. Yeah. You need to deliver. You need to not make any mistake. He could make mistakes. So I think, I don't know, maybe the other driver gets in the car and does a fastest lap and goes well. But Are they able to maintain the dominance of like that?
Okay, I get you. All right, so Max Verstappen, he's won the last two Miami GPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to win it again? It looks like it. Yes. And to me.
The car is good also, like you said.
Yeah.
And they didn't change. Like they are still up and... there's not much to say. Hopefully not. Like, hopefully we can see, like, good fighting. At least if he wins, we want some fighting on the top. If not, the midfield is super, super attractive to watch also.
Yes, that's always the most interesting part of the race because Max just, he runs away. If he passes you on the first lap, and if he's not pole, that's it. He's gone. You know, they don't even, I don't think they even show him the rest of the race on TV. They just focus, you know, they just focus on the mid table guys. But how about the track? Have you driven on the Miami track at all?
No, I did some coaching with my coach, like watching the F1 track. Like I just watch it and it's really technical. So we got some corners in which he teaches me like some style of driving because it's there's good corners to learn from. You know, it's also a straight circuit. It's not like full, like it's not something that is like there. Yeah, track, but it's there. And the cars pass around, so it's not the same. They paint it every year, so that that has a conditioning in the setup of the car on where is the racing line.
And I imagine, you know, if they keep the track the same every year, you kind of get used to where little different spots are and things like that, but that's not true for Miami GP. It's you know, the sites are different every year. So
yeah, but the reference they usually are like meters, something. Yes. Okay. for sure. I don't know by certain, but they have for sure.
That's interesting. All right, so who we said we think Max is gonna win, but who do you have falling in line? I think this, from a constructor's standpoint, I think it's a little more competitive this year than it was last year.
Right? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I need to see the practice. I already know, of course, McLaren is going to be strong. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Fernando.
Yeah.
I can also see him on the podium. But yeah, it's year by year, it's difficult change. And I think Miami is like one of different tracks from what they have been racing. So it's difficult to predict how the cars are going to manage, because some cars are better on with long straights, some are with corners, mm-hmm. and, you know, and this has a little bit of everything. So I think more like McLaren, well, obviously Red Bull is going to be up there.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about Ferrari? I think Ferrari is the one that's giving Red Bull the biggest run for their money. Do you mm-hmm. see any of those guys maybe upsetting any of the Ferraris?
Absolutely. Yeah? I always count Ferrari on that. They have been top three teams like from a lot of years. So yeah, of course they have a good run, but you never know. I think the last year they did really good in Miami. Mm-hmm. But I want to see the practice, you know, on practice one, yeah. You can tell a lot of things.
All right. And I know they're doing the sprint qualifying this season, right?
Well, yes.
Have you seen that in person? What kind of dynamic does that add to a race weekend?
No, I haven't seen. I haven't been on a mm-hmm. on a race weekend when they have sprints, and okay. I just on the races. But I think it's a drivers don't like it, but I think it's something extra, you know, something yeah. extra to watch on the weekend as a Formula One fan.
That's true. Why is it that they don't like it though? What is it about it?
I think they seem like a normal race, you know, them going to race the cars. I think they spoke something about giving an idea of reverse grid. I think that would be awesome to mm-hmm. just see.
That's interesting. Well, explain to us what reverse grid means and how that would work.
It means you have like a qualifying or fastest lap or everything, and you put like the grid upside down, so mm-hmm. the first one goes last and they start last, and then slower goes first.
But that's for the sprint or for the actual race?
No, for the sprint.
Okay, so how would that affect the actual race if they were to do that?
This is sprint qualifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about sprint races when there was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the sprint race, they don't actually affect the actual race as far as positioning.
No.
Okay, it's just extra points.
You have qualifying after mm-hmm. the sprint.
Okay, so, I was confused. I thought it was just an extra step.
No.
Okay, I get you. All right, that's interesting. And that's something that I think a lot of people have spoken about, because I've heard other people talking about that reverse grid style of racing. Which it would make things not so, like, you know, if you get pole position, if Max gets pole position, it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to win unless he makes a mistake where he crashes or something like that. I think that adds more competitiveness to the race. But, you know, do you think drivers are open to something like that or no?
To like the reverse grid?
To the reverse grid, yeah.
Well, they told the idea. They say that. Yeah, they say that idea. And I liked it. And I said, like, okay, that's clever.
That is clever. All right, so Edwin is watching here, and he wants to know where you will be watching the race on Sunday.
Hopefully on track.
On track. You said you're working the race, correct?
Yeah, we are on that discussion. But if not, I'm going to be as a spectator.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, Maite, thank you so much for giving us a lot of insight on racing. We appreciate you. Hopefully you can come back and join us for upcoming races. We try to do these shows after or before every one of these races. So we really appreciate you joining us. Can you tell everybody where they can follow you on your social media, things like that?
Yes, of course. First of all, I want to thank all Lemon City Live for the invitation. Really a pleasure. I love talking about Formula One racing. So even if you have other plans, you can follow me on at Cáceres, like my name, last name with double S at the end. That is my Instagram, and you also have Twitter. And I'm going to put all the details of my next races there. So if you want to watch, also they are streamed live. So yeah, thank you all. Thank you all for listening.
All right, guys. So that's at Maite Cáceres with a double S at the end for her Instagram. All right. And just for Twitter, it's just one S.
No, they're both the right? same.
Oh, both of them are the same. Okay, perfect. Both of them at Maite Cáceres with two S's at the end. Maite, thank you so much for joining us. We had a great time talking with you. It was very insightful, and we'll hopefully see you soon.
Yeah, hopefully, yes. Thank you so much, guys. See you.
No problem. Have a good one.
Bye.
I love crepes.
Don't you say it, Ricky. These colors don't run.
I'm going to say it. Nope. Break it, Pepe Le Pew.